most common thing that someone would ask for? Like a client, a couple, an individual? Like, is there something that's like the most common thing that you get asked to do?
Is it cuddles?
Cuddles are great.
Happy Friday! It's your girls from Kiwi Gen Up Podcast. I'm Zana.
And I'm Jessica.
And we have something super spicy, super flavorsome, super sexy for your Friday. And it starts like this. Hey, doesn't that like just that. Sound so sexy? Ooh. Do you guys have any idea? I know you've clicked on this episode and you know exactly what it's about, but we want to introduce it. We are starting a new series. Mm-mm-mm. And what is it?
It's a sex series.
Did you just say sex?
I did.
Oh my God, baby. Scandalous.
Now, we've been loving doing these series. So we did a What Do Women Want dating series, which was so much fun. Like, we loved taping those episodes. And we know that you guys have loved it because you guys have written into us every single day, pretty much, asking for tips and tricks and saying how much you loved it. And then we did a mental health series, which was also so fun to record. And we dived deep into some really heavy topics. But it was an amazing series. And now we're going into the sex series.
So much fun. Oh, everybody loves sex. So yeah, this one's going to be a great one.
It's going to be so good.
And we're starting off strong. We have Reese. He is a sex worker and he, came on our podcast to talk everything about being a male sex worker. I mean, we feel so honored for him to come and chat. It's not only interesting, it's educational and it's also super fun.
Yeah.
So we can't wait for you guys to hear this chat.
And if you don't know what Reese looks like, I mean, go onto our Instagram, Kiwi Gen Up Podcast, and we've got a photo of him up there with the reel that introduces this episode. And he is hot, hot, hot.
And Jess has done some deeper digging into this hot, hot, hot business, but you might have to ask her personally about that because she doesn't want to disclose on this podcast, but she's seen more than what the face appears.
Yes, I have.
No, she did not sleep with him.
Sorry,
she
wishes. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, he's a very good-looking character and, you know, you just get really curious and just learning about his style of work was very interesting. And we actually have done an episode like this in the past. We did one with Brandy, who was a female sex worker in New South Wales, which was super educational and just really interesting. That was such a fun episode.
It was.
But this one, all the questions that your mind is thinking right now, yes, we asked them.
Yeah, we asked every single thing. Also, everything that you guys wrote in, we asked him. So stay tuned because it's a sick episode. But we also just want to share our kind of combined spill the tea for this week. Yeah. Two exciting things have happened this week. We found a new house.
Yay!
We thought the rental market was going to be absolutely shocking. So we applied for a place before even seeing it because I was like, I saw it online and I was like, this place looks great. May as well apply before we go. Went there, thought it was great. And I was like, think I'll be applied. But I thought, nah, there's no way we're going to get this. The rental market's terrible. People were saying it's taking months. My parents in Sydney, I know it's a different state, but my parents in Sydney looked at maybe like 150 houses before they got something. So we thought, no way, there's no way we're going to get this. Literally the next day she called me and was like, oh, your references have all cleared. Like you have been approved. Can you pay the deposit today? And I was like, what?
And like, I didn't even see the house. Zana saw it. And
Jess hasn't even seen it.
Loved it. And you know, you just don't get your hopes up with this stuff. And we've had so much stuff happen recently, like so much huge, big life changes, which, you know, we'll eventually be able to tell you guys. But like just getting that house has just made us go like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
So we're still in Brisbane in Queensland. So we are very excited.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a podcast studio.
Yay. Isn't that so exciting?
Instead of like hanging out in our lounge room and / kitchen.
I know. We live in the smallest apartment right now. We're going to have a house. It's so exciting. We're actually paying less rent. So like how good is that?
Saving some money.
Yeah. Except we have to buy all our furniture. So if anyone in Brisbane has spare furniture, please write in, call in, message us. We're desperate.
To get fucking furniture.
We're desperate.
But also, yes.
We have nothing. Not even a skerrick of anything.
I don't even have a mattress, mate.
Yeah, please, please help. But anyway. Also, yes, our other secret news is that we have a new job that is starting on the 4th of July. However, it is super top secret. Not really, but it is. But we want you to go and find out about it on our other platform because it's nursing related and it's going to be specifically kind of linked to our other Instagram, which is the Nourished Nurses. So the.nourished.nurses on Instagram. Go give it a follow. It's going to create some hot content. Anyone on here who's a travel nurse or a nurse, please go follow it because we're going to have some really cool things on there coming up.
Yay.
And really cool opportunities for everyone. So we cannot wait.
All right, guys, let's get into the episode because it's hot.
It's hot and sexy and spicy. Reba, enjoy. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Kiwi Gen Up Podcast. We have such an exciting guest for you today. We are here with Reese. We know that a lot of you have been waiting for this episode for a couple of weeks now, but Reese is a sex worker and he is going to answer all of our juicy, juicy questions. But before we get into that, would you like to share with us your spill the tea of this week?
Yeah. Okay. So I was going to come up with, like, not come up with a story, but tell you a story about these clients that I had that kind of caught me off guard. So they just booked a couple of days. I wasn't really too sure what to expect because I don't really see ID as such, being a straight male independent escort. So they sent a car over. Turns out it was a very luxurious brand new Mercedes and it was very nice. Got to the hotel into a custom penthouse that was outside of the hotel kind of listing of penthouses. Ridiculously big, like 8 rooms, 2 lounge rooms, its own private pool on the roof. It was just overkill, but it was glorious. And then as soon as I walk in the door, there is this giant bouquet of roses, like red, yellow, white, and just, I don't know. It was just as big as like your kitchen.
Wow.
It was huge. It was just like that island there. It was just all roses.
Oh my gosh.
I wish we had a visual for the podcast, but yeah, it's quite big. And then, yeah, that ended up being like a 3-day stint. So I had my own room on top of that in the same hotel. And that was pretty much like, that was one of the biggest highlights, I think, but also a pretty cool story, I guess.
Yeah, it's an amazing story.
What a bougie weekend.
So how much did you get paid for the weekend?
That was about 15 grand for that weekend.
Just 3 days. And a free 3-stay night in some insane bougie Brisbane apartment.
Yeah, I got really lucky.
You didn't have to travel that far.
No.
Yeah, it was like literally just across
the city. And you traveled in style as well.
Yeah. That is fancy.
Wow. So nice. On this occasion, how much did you have to do in those 3 weekends? What did it consist of?
That is a good question. I had most of the day to myself. And then during probably dinner time onwards up until like 1, 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. was usually doing all sorts of fun things.
Playtime.
I don't know how much I can kind of say on here as far as like,
I mean, we
in terms of us or in terms of you?
Well, in terms of like your viewership is.
Oh, I'll give it to us all.
Oh, we've got our 18 plus. We can even give say it to us. Bitch and everything.
Anal.
Wow.
We can say orgasm.
This is the adult corner, I see.
Yeah.
Sex workers come on here.
We
would not invite you over to talk about sex work.
You're like, so what are your pre-rituals?
Yeah, okay.
You can go deep. The listeners want to
know. I'm sure he does go deep.
I mean, for 15 grand, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, there is a lot going on.
For 15 grand, like, I'm trying to think what I'll do for 15 grand.
Anything, probably. Yeah,
probably.
What would you not do for 15 grand? That is
the question.
Yeah, I guess that's your predicament every day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Constantly, like, would I do that?
Turns out there's a lot I wouldn't do for money.
Yeah. What did you do in this instance?
Okay, in this instance.
So 15 grand, come on, listeners wonder.
It was a lot of like playing out their fantasies. And as a couple, like they were a couple, they've been married for like since they were teenagers kind of thing. Sorry, they weren't married, but together since they were teenagers. Mm. And it was just like it was their way of expressing their adventure side because they live quite traditional lifestyles outside of their holidays. I guess this is considered a holiday to them.
Yeah.
And yeah, getting into the fantasy side of the things, there was like massages, there was showers, there was balconies, there was all sorts of stuff going on as far as scenes. And then, it was a lot of sexual debauchery. That's all I'm going to say. I can't really disclose too much without revealing too much about them or... Yeah.
You ran out of juice by the end of it, I'm sure. You would have been like, oof, that was exhausting. 3 days is exhausting.
Terms we're saying is just hilarious.
You have all day to reset. So it's not like it's not like it's back to back no sleep for 3 days.
Did you get 15 grand? Yeah. Did you have a chef?
Like, I'm an adult. I just feed myself. No.
It sounded really bougie. I thought you maybe had a chef there or something.
Room service.
Oh. The chef was involved.
That's all right. He was the chef.
So in this instance, I guess these people are obviously very wealthy. Business people, I assume, of some kind.
Yep.
And they're in their, I don't know, mid mid-age, if you're saying that they've been together since they were kids? Are they like, since they were young, sorry? Are they like kind of in their 40s, 50s, 60s? What's the age bracket there?
Yeah, I would say about like mid-50s,
okay.
50s. Yeah.
All right. So all fascinating. Right. I like that. Spill the tea. It was great.
That was great. Thank you. You're like, oh, let me just have a drink and I read
it. Yeah.
I'm sweating. That's the story was the panicking part.
Oh, God. There's many more, much more to unpack here. What do you want to start with, Jess? You got any questions there?
My God, my mind's going a million miles an hour.
Mm.
I think let's talk about your job, like your job as a sex worker. There's a lot of people don't really understand what the term is. They're kind of like, we'll throw things out. They're like, what? Like, do they just sleep with people? Are they escorts? Like, do they just do companionship? Like,
OnlyFans.
So many things. Thing. Like, I know you've got OnlyFans.
Yeah.
I've already stalked it.
She's subscribed now.
I have subscribed to your monthly
I wouldn't be
account.
Surprised.
But just in terms, like, what's your role?
Okay. So, like you said, there's many, like, facets to the adult industry as such. It's like my main role is a straight male independent escort. I guess that's the official title. What that entails is generally just a lot of just answering your phone. Pretty much majority of the time is just getting back to people.
Okay.
And then occasionally doing a booking or two each week. Mm-hmm. Like I live, like, I guess I work a very low kind of capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a lot of clients. I just have very good clients. So I'll do like 3-hour bookings majority. Yeah, that kind of pays for everything that I need in life.
And you're just working 3 hours a week and you're like, done.
Yeah.
I'm done for the week.
Yeah.
Pretty great. We're definitely in the wrong industry.
I know. I think a lot of people listening to this are thinking, fucking hell.
But it is very inconsistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
it'll be a really busy week and then a really quiet month.
Yeah. So, I'm guessing no annual leave or sick leave or anything.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. You only get paid to do the job. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
more paid to leave.
Yeah.
And do the job.
What about what type of clients you deal with? So like, are they like all types of age brackets or is it like particularly maybe like the older, I don't know, old women who like have done and dusted with their kids and maybe they've gone through divorces. That's what I've got in my head. I just think like, screw that. I'm going to go have some sex with some young guy.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's a good prospect to have. I think it's a range. So I'll have majority of my clientele will be between 40 to 55.
Mm-hmm.
Usually women, which like, cause I see couples as well. Post-divorce most of the time. Otherwise, I do see wives around the same age that will obviously disclose that with their husbands and see me whenever I'm in the city kind of thing. Cause I do tour a lot to Sydney and Melbourne. So it's kind of like seeing them as their escape sometimes.
Mm.
So that's the general demographic that I kind of work with.
Okay.
Do you have a lot of women that come to you that haven't disclosed to their husbands? Like,
yeah.
If they haven't, I don't think I would know.
Mm.
I find women want to keep the two very separate.
Yeah.
And if they're not disclosing to their husbands, they're definitely not disclosing
to you. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
I've had clients disclose like after a couple of bookings, but not on the first one or the first two. So yeah.
Okay. And when you say you tour to Sydney and Melbourne, like, is that just on your own kind of back? You book clients that are in Sydney and Melbourne and you travel for those?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'll just get a hotel room for the weekend or a couple of days and then book in whoever I need to see or would like to see. And then, come home. It's like a monthly thing at this stage, but I've kind of stepped that back a little bit moving into the end of, is it May?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the end of May. Yeah. Yeah. You're touring soon though, aren't you?
Pardon?
You're touring soon?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I've got Sydney. Oh, no, Melbourne in 2 weeks. God, I get lost.
So how many people would you see? Like if you're going to Melbourne, like they all want to see you. You got to cram them all in.
Yeah, that's a good point. I try and like have a maximum of 3 clients a night.
Yeah.
That can vary. So depending on the hours that I have. So I'll try hit my maximum amount of hours at about 5.
Okay.
And then just call it a day. If it's a 3-hour booking, I'll try not to have anyone before or after. I'll try and put someone in the morning kind of thing. So I have time spaced out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, once it hits that max, I just kind of push on to the next day. And if that doesn't work, then the next trip kind of thing. So just try and push as much as I can back.
Is it like physically exhausting or more mentally exhausting? Because you've kind of like got to play this character this whole time, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's more psychologically exhausting.
Yeah.
Because you're in a city that you're not like, you don't really feel comfortable in. You're just in your little hotel room.
Yeah.
But like, I guess I try to get out as much as I can. I also don't want to be there too long that I'm just kind of like burning through money to try and stay there to appeal to people and then kind of have like going through the repercussions of that when I get back.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to bounce back is kind of difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're right, playing that character is exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it someone else that you play? Like, do you kind of play a different character or do people ask you to play different characters?
Oh, so like a kink?
Mm.
Right. Not so much recently, I think, because I've developed a character that kind of appeals to my demographic. So they know who's going to be there.
Yeah.
There are definitely attributes that I've had to customize playing that character that probably don't come as naturally as I had hoped, being probably a bit more enthusiastic and engaging and all the usual kind of attributes that come with customer care, I think.
Mm. Customer care.
Not just down to corporate, but yeah.
I know.
Well, it is a business at the end of the day.
Yeah.
This is true.
Do you reach customers your KPIs?
At the center?
Do I what?
Reach your KPIs every month?
No, not every month.
I guess I actually really want to know, like, how do you prep yourself for a job? So, like, I know we always talk about, like, some people have alcohol or, like, some type of take stimulants or Viagra. Like, that's the one question I've been asked a lot as well. It was like, do you take Viagra?
I don't take anything.
No. Nope.
Yeah.
Or Natural.
Yeah. I think I have like a bit of a fear about taking something to like enhance my performance. I think because once I start, I'll rely on it.
Mm.
And then if I rely on it, it's just going to become this like kind of rolling addiction. Sorry, not addiction, more of like a snowball effect.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't take anything as of yet, but like that could change in the future if like I'm not really feeling up to getting erect every single time and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just I count myself lucky that I don't take anything yet.
Yeah.
At the moment it is just a mental game. So just knowing what I'm expecting out of the experience, being able to be present during that experience and then seeing it through for like everything that I can for the client's expectations. That's basically the whole idea.
Okay. Because I'm sure you'd get with clients that you would feel like you're not attracted to. Like you wouldn't organically go with that person. Is that ever a struggle?
That's a good question. I think sometimes it is.
Yeah.
Like I can't lie and say that it's not.
Do you get photos before you meet them? Or no? Okay.
I don't know anything except for like a rough description of what they send in text.
Oh, wow.
Occasionally they'll send a photo, but it's not really a prerequisite.
Mm-hmm. It sounds a bit risky actually. If they're just texting you and you're like, okay, cool, meet at this location.
It is.
Do you get a little bit worried like in terms of safety?
I used to get a lot worried.
Yeah.
A lot worried. That's not English. I used to get a bit worried.
Yeah.
But I don't anymore. I think I've gotten better at filtering through text messages to know who's legit and who's not.
Okay.
Because you don't really know the context of a character through text. You kind of like, I don't know if I'm texting the perfect client or a like underage person.
Yeah.
So if they're not spelling correctly or they're not expressing their expectations or what type of services they're after, I kind of try to either direct the conversation back into what they're messaging me for or just direct it towards no thank you.
Okay.
And I think it's important to know those boundaries as to what clients to see and what not to see.
Yeah.
And in terms of that, I guess like not knowing who the person is, you're potentially touring to Sydney, Melbourne, wherever. Do you make them pay in advance or make them pay a deposit or make them pay something because obviously you're going to another state for this?
Yeah. Yeah. So deposits are like essential for me. Too many times I've just not done deposits and missed out on bookings. And I think it's easier to know what I'm going there for with deposits. So yeah, definitely deposits.
In terms of what do you do pre-prep for your body? Like, do you do anything specific in your own personal life? Do you meditate? Do you shave your entire body? Do you
like
bleach your asshole? Like, what do you do?
I think you would need to wax your asshole in that industry. I don't know. I'm feeling
maybe.
I'm feeling that.
It's like, maybe I should have done this. I don't know. I don't.
That is the one thing I've not been doing. Yeah. prep. I I mean, I've got my usual hygiene prep, like haircut, face, like just buzz the face and whatever. I don't really do anything out of the ordinary. I think because I feel like I've been doing this for too long that it's kind of just become a routine. Just getting ready to go out.
Wait, how long have you done this for?
So I've been doing this since 2018.
Mm-hmm, okay.
I was doing this full time since 2019. So yeah, a few years.
What about during COVID though? Because I feel like COVID would have been a bit of a buzzkill.
It was. Yeah. I think I got really lucky through COVID with a couple of really great people. And that just kind of saw me through the years. So, yeah.
That's a long time, actually.
Yeah.
It's like, what, 4 years?
So you have a lot of recurring customers? And how frequently would a recurring customer see you?
Ooh, that could be anywhere from like a month to every 3 months or even once a year.
Okay. Yeah.
Some people I just never hear from again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, your services are no longer needed.
Yeah.
They're dirty little secrets that one time.
Yeah, exactly.
One night stand.
Yeah.
It's a really expensive one.
Yeah. I guess like while we're on the topic of guests, like pre-prepping and things like that, how do you maintain your sexual health through this process? Like do you, obviously you would use protection. Do you make other people wear protection? How does that kind of all look?
Yeah. So I definitely use protection. It's illegal in Queensland not to. There's also the obvious STD checks. Mm-hmm. So there's no actual regulation for independent escorts. I know that there's a 3-month sexual health certificate for brothel workers, I believe. Mm-hmm. But I get tested monthly because I like to be on top of it, and I think it really eats at my like psyche if I'm not up to standard of what I expect from this industry. So it's pretty frequent, and I think that's pretty much it.
What about for oral sex on a woman though? Do you expect them to have, is it dental dams? Or like what are the
women? Yeah, they are dental dams, yeah.
Or do you not use protection?
That is a good question. I haven't, I'm not too, because I get all my throat swabbed and everything, I don't really look to have them provide their own dental dams.
Okay.
And I'm more like, I guess I'm more protecting my situation.
Yeah.
I should obviously bring some along. I think it's just, it's not something I really run into. And I guess I haven't really had any complications in that regard either.
Yeah. Do you perform oral sex, like if that's a part of their package and what they wanted?
I have before. Yeah. It's all about context, I think, with clients. Obviously you don't know you're never guaranteed 100% safety with anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nothing is ever going to be known unless it's tested. And even then tests can be wrong. So it's kind of like a bit of a gray area. Mm. I think if you're going to do adult things, you should treat it like an adult and just take responsibility for what you're doing, and also allow the communication for other people to take responsibility for what they're doing as well. So yeah, I haven't, I don't so much use dental dams as such.
Sounds like I've never even seen one.
No, I'm
I have used them before, just not often. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was thinking that as well. Because I was like, I know when a male goes to a brothel, most of the time the women will make them put a condom on and then give them oral sex like that.
Yes.
And I was always like, God, like that's some kind of skill. I don't know how that would make that feel good, but apparently they do.
Yeah.
I've got feedback. But that's why I was trying to think of it in reverse for for you going down on a woman, then is it the same thing or is it not?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess it also legally, you've got to reflect on each state.
Yeah.
So it's illegal to not utilize a prophylactic when engaging in work sex.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a matter of how you go from there.
Yeah.
I don't even know how much of that you can put on the podcast because, who knows if I'll just incriminate myself.
Yeah. Who knows?
We'll find out. Nah.
Yeah. Whatever.
I just seem to be crucified.
No, not at all.
This is fascinating. People want to know this stuff. There's a reason why people would write the word sex worker in Spotify or Apple Podcasts because they want to hear about this stuff. Like it's getting more and more known. Like we've already done a podcast about this from a female's perspective as being a sex worker.
Yeah.
So many people found that so fascinating. Us being nurses working in emergency ICU wards, we want our patients to disclose to us if they do that kind of work as well, and we can facilitate and help them.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely all up about, I'm all open to being more responsible for what you're doing and your conduct with people.
Yeah.
But definitely reflect on the legalities of the state.
Yeah.
That's what you're wanting to research.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, if somebody wanted to get into a position of maybe doing what you're doing and doing sex work, so every state is different.
Yeah.
So it used to be illegal. When did it? Because I was very shocked about that. When
I think Sydney was the first to decriminalize it, and I can't remember when that was. I think it was either in the 70s or 80s, but it was to do with the drug trade, and they were trying to decriminalize sex so that it wasn't a trade, because it was being used in the cross and with, you know, all those shows that used to be on TV.
Yeah,
I know that. I think it was in the 80s, but I can't be sure.
Really? So, and then obviously you can't, like, that's how we explained it before, is like you can't then go out in the street and be like, hey, like, come home with me for $200. But if you work at a brothel as a female, then that is how it's kept legal and being a sole trader.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I was kind of understanding it, because I was like, I don't understand, like, and like the safety aspect of it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really know what, like, I know more about Queensland law than I do mm-hmm. about the others, but it's, I know that we can't, like, yeah, walk around the street.
Yeah, prostitution. To people, and yeah.
Then, we can't, like, it's still criminalized in some senses in mm-hmm. Queensland. It just got decriminalized in Melbourne a few months ago. But, yeah, in Queensland, you can't tell someone where you're going as far as out calls go. And you can't work in the same building as another escort, like, mm-hmm. if you are doing independent work.
Really? Same building as in same like hotel or same just that, like
see, that's kind of where the law goes yeah. a bit blurry because okay. I guarantee there's more than one escort in.
Yeah, I think they mean, yeah, but then I think they mean like have you provided your own space and you're having multiple people that are escorts that then yeah. turns into a brothel maybe.
But then also like what about doubles bookings?
Yeah, exactly. You've
got two escorts and a client or two clients.
Hazy.
Two escorts. So
hazy
yeah,
rules.
Yeah.
Mm.
Very fascinating.
Yeah. So you must like obviously enjoy sex to have got into this industry.
Oh, yeah, hesitation.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. No, like I think I did when I started. I think it's definitely differentiated itself at the moment from work sex to personal sex.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it has to.
Yeah.
Otherwise I'd just keep mixing it up with personal sex and it just kind of get a bit blurry.
Yeah. So how did you first get into this? Like what was your life before like to make you kind of decide this is what I want to do? Was there a moment? Was there a person? Like how did it start?
Yeah. Okay. There was, I guess it was a period of time where it was studying. So I was studying a lot and then I was just started topless waitering. And I did that for about a year, met some of the guys locally. And got more into stripping and did that for about 9 months, I think. And then from there, because it's very seasonal in Brisbane or Gold Coast, which is where I was, it was like busy all of a sudden, then dead for like all of winter. Yeah. So then I got more into escorting from there. And then was also working as a bartender at the time. So I was doing like three things.
Mm-hmm.
And then once escorting kind of took off in 2019, I just kind of went full time and traveled with it. So
wow.
Yeah, it kind of happened organically.
Yeah.
It wasn't like an abrupt situation that like threw me in the deep end.
Yeah.
I kind of just got to a point where I was like, I need to do this or like suffer the consequences of like not having money or not having freedom. And
yeah.
I really wanted my time and my money to just utilize for myself.
Well, now you just work 3 hours a week and you get to just live it up the rest of the week. Living the dream.
But then there's next week and then the next week and then the anxiety kicks in and you've got to keep working.
And then you need therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
So therapy, you just got to take an extra session, then you can get the therapy.
Yeah
exactly.
Actually, I wonder how.
Therapist.
Huh?
And hope it's not your therapist.
Yeah. Probably.
Yes. That would be fucking awful.
Don't sleep with your therapist. How are your personal relationships? Like what's your relationship status now? Are you single? Are you in a relationship?
Yeah. Okay. That's a good question. I think my mentality is kind of warped being in this industry, but I think it's more of a dynamic that we utilize rather than relationships from the experience that I'm witnessing now, which is just the R word relationship kind of puts a bit of a expectation and pressure on people.
Yeah.
We kind of like, I've noticed a few people kind of revert back to who they were in their previous relationships, which kind of limits situations. And I've learned that I've learned a lot about myself in that situation where I also revert. Without hindering my work and personal lifestyle, I think we kind of have this dynamic where I have kind of friends with benefits, but it's not, how do I say this? It's like part of my personal life, but allows for me to also expand my professional life.
Okay.
So that doesn't really answer your question.
So you basically, you're dating, well. But you're like, they know obviously what you do and they know yeah. you're not like their boyfriend. Yeah. They're okay with what you're doing,
yeah. but they're not paying you.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's the crucial part
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
They get the free all. Sex.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Wow. Free. That'd be quite. I don't know. We'd feel quite good getting free sex yeah. from an escort. I feel quite like, good about that.
They paid you this much and I got you for free.
You're like, yeah, right. boy.
So does that increase your value or decrease their value?
Oh. I don't know. That is a hot questions. Topic. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
That is a deep question.
How do you feel about it?
I don't know.
Mm. I feel like it would make you feel, yeah, oh, I don't know, because you need to also enjoy sex in your own life outside of your, you know, work life. Like yeah. we could nurse someone in home, like we could go home from nursing and still yeah. have someone at home that needs care, mm-hmm. but that's a completely different situation. You're not getting paid for that, but you don't, yeah, I don't know. It's a confusing yeah. situation.
Yeah.
Mm.
Weird.
Yeah.
How many do you have? How many friends with benefits? How many girlfriends?
I need context then. Where is that going?
Not girlfriends. That's yeah. not the right word. How many like personal relationships do you have like outside of work? Do you have like that few where you can like watch a movie, de-stress, go for a walk?
Look, I don't have like an exact number because because some people may be wanting to experience a relationship with someone else. Mm-hmm. Some people might, you know, not be up for that. You know, like it's
yeah.
it's complicated because everyone's lives are kind of chaotic lately.
Yeah.
And you just kind of fit in and enjoy each other's company while you can.
Yeah.
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 And we're thinking like on yeah. Tinder profile, like, and then you're like meeting up and you're like chatting. You're like,
yeah, do you have dating apps?
Not a personal one. Mm. I've got a work one.
Yeah.
It's kind of frowned upon, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's good to have a work one.
Yeah.
Obviously they're going to swipe if they're keen.
It's only frowned upon by the dating app. It's,
right. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
Are you trying to be like a little bit more subtle? You just like,
yeah, yeah, mm. gotta try.
Do you get much like I much honestly, success?
I don't know. Mm. I never go on there. I just have it up and running. Like Tinder doesn't really shut down, does it?
No, it's forever circulating.
Just leave it there, yeah.
Yeah.
Tinder basically is a big sex app.
Yeah.
You can get free sex on there.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Not the best quality.
Not with Reese though. It's not free. No.
Can't get the best quality on the Tinder.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, God.
So what are your, like, personal boundaries? I know I did mention Ooh. To you, like, pre-chat before this, like, about obviously you're a man. Obviously you must get a lot of male attention wanting to do things to you.
Yeah. And couples that and
couples
have
yeah.
men in them.
Yeah.
What's your fine line, like, when you're getting with a couple?
The fine lines. I have a conversation at the start of all my bookings. Huh? I said I have a conversation at the start of all my bookings where we just have to, like, discuss expectations and boundaries. And I think it's really important to have that on the table, and that might change from the text messages. So it needs to kind of be done in person.
Mm-hmm.
Boundaries as such, definitely just, penetration on me is a big no-go.
Yeah.
And any sort of like physical or verbal kind of abuse is a no-go.
Yep.
And even though it kind of doesn't need to be said, I just have to say it anyway, just to make sure that it is clearly communicated.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are my boundaries as such.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is like having that open communication throughout the whole experience to, you know, say what you're comfortable with and what you're not. Like if you're feeling a bit off, just be like, hey, can we change it up a little bit or mix things around. Yeah.
The whole consent wheel
that
we were going through.
Do you like safe words that you say or is it kind of just a general discussion?
Both. Depends on how intense you're wanting the play to be.
Yeah.
So yeah, safe words always good.
Mm-hmm. Do you get many people that do have a lot of kinks and fetishes and want to explore things that are quite, I guess, could be potentially dangerous or things like that?
Yes, but I don't really know about dangerous. I think there's a huge rise in like the 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Theme.
BDSM.
Yeah.
People the flogging.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want you to flog a lot, hey?
Not really. No? Like not so much the flogging, very much the bondage.
Yeah.
The bondage, the sensory deprivation, the like, I guess you'd say more of like the lust, like the heavy breathing in the ear.
Yeah. Like, the dom sub stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Very dom sub, but it's not, how says it's not like the BDSM scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different.
Yeah.
So it's more of like this mix between BDSM and vanilla.
Is it people that are maybe vanilla in their normal lives and they want to explore BDSM? Do you feel like it's more like that?
To start with, yeah.
Yeah.
And then if they enjoy it, they kind of get more into the BDSM scene itself and then they want to go to those events and stuff. So yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. Did someone teach you how to do any of this? Like, or did you kind of just research it yourself? Like
50 Shades of Grey.
That is not a good educational resource, I must tell you. It's not okay for education.
Porn. No,
porn is also not real. Sorry.
No, don't watch that.
Yeah. If you like someone came to you with something like and said they wanted to do this, like how do you educate yourself on it before you do it? Or do you just have like a realm of knowledge in your head that you just know what you're doing at all times?
Yeah, I feel like that's impossible. but I love the expectation that I just kind of know everything on the spot. Definitely not me. No, I had a phase where I was very much into educating myself on the BDSM scene and, you know, what I enjoy. Because I think it was more about exploring my own sexuality, kinks and stuff. And then, yeah, it then became more of a passion to include my clients in those experiences because it wasn't so much as intense as what I enjoyed it, but it was very much, it was good. It was good to kind of get that understanding of the procedure in with clients to know, go through the whole consent protocol and then go through the scene and then have that aftercare afterwards, which is really important. Also something that I think is underrated in vanilla sex. So
yes, definitely. Yeah,
I definitely had a learning phase for that. And I haven't really expanded on it recently, but I do enjoy my own kind of dom sub dynamics and plays here and there.
Is it like a most common thing that someone would ask for, like a client, a couple, a individual? Like, is there something that's like the most common thing that you get asked to do?
Is it cuddles?
Cuddles are great. Honestly, I think it's just. Yeah, I get a lot of bookings that just either one of two things. They either want to just be like primarily consumed. So they just want someone to like ravish them and pin them against a wall and throw them on a bed and like rip each other's clothes off and do all the things. And then the other one is like they just want a nice cup of tea, sit down, have a chat, have a snuggle, have sex, and then like cuddle a little bit more and then call it a day.
Wow. So, okay.
Yeah.
Best of both worlds.
I like this.
Yeah. We all like a little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not so much one. And then even that, that like those two experiences kind of diversely expand depending on each client.
Yeah. And do clients like say you have a recurring client, do they always want the same thing or do they change what they want each time?
Oh, they'll change. Yeah. I think we all kind of change our sexual preferences or even just what we want to explore with someone.
Once you open the world of sex, it's actually like ginormous. So big.
Yeah.
There's a lot out there.
Yeah.
Like we've done an episode before where I like spoke about going to a sex party and I went to a tantric style sex party. So a spirituality one.
Yes.
And it was such a crazy experience. And I was just, I just observed, like I just watched and just took it all in. Like I was like, I don't want to do anything physical with anybody besides make out with the man and his wife, but you know, whatever. But I got to watch like candle play and then like, what was the rope stuff that I watched that I told you about? What's it called?
I can't remember the name now. Yeah.
Shibari.
Yeah. Okay.
And like the full dom sub of like with the rope play, like he fully tied her up and she was like, just couldn't do anything. She was a total sub. And then the flogging, I finally got to see flogging and like, there was like over another corner, there was something else going on. And I was just like, this is wild. Like,
where did you, was it like an event?
Yeah. I had to drive an hour and a half for it. And it was a sober style event.
No, it was north. It was in Sunshine Coast.
I never know how to say the word, remember?
Yeah.
The whole world of sex is just like gone nuts. And once you step into that world, you're like, wow, there is a lot out here. And you've been exposed to so much of it. So you would definitely know what you do and don't like.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. I mean, even that might change in the next 6 months. So who knows, really?
Do you enjoy yourself in your experiences with your clients or are you just mainly only just focusing on them, like purely focusing on them?
I think... It's very much give and take. It's a very, like, it's a very like high energy exchange situation. So you have to enjoy yourself and in order to enjoy them. And I think drawing from that place of interest or place of intrigue of them kind of fulfills you, like fulfills me in a way that I can enjoy the time with them. Because if I'm not present and I disassociate too much, I find that I disassociate in my personal life and I don't want to do that.
Okay.
So I kind of have to regulate being present with them so that I can be present in my personal life.
Right. I like that.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like there's some wholesome shit behind that.
We don't know what it is. We won't digest it, but maybe one day.
wholesome indeed. Yeah.
Do you like have a big bag of tricks that you like take with you? Like, do you have like a setup of people like who might ask for wondrous stuff or might ask for this or might ask for that? Do you have like a whole thing, a big red room in your house that just like is full of shit?
I don't have a room full of it. I definitely have my set assortments.
A wardrobe. Mm. Surely there's a big bag in there.
I'm not going to give away
my secret. It's a big black leather bag.
Big black leather bag, for sure.
It's on my Instagram sometimes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to put that up.
That's what you're always carrying.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh. Two bags that I carry around. One is for one purpose and the other is for the other. So
what are the purposes?
Oh, you just have to
pay to find out. Yeah. Oh, damn it.
I don't earn that much, man. Jesus Christ.
One day when we own a penthouse, maybe.
But look, I've only got 3 hours. I'll pay you for 3 hours.
We'll send you a Lamborghini, though.
I'll just get you a regular Uber.
I can just get my own Uber. It's okay.
Yeah, okay. We'll do that.
Oh, my God.
What is like, what are the most common things that you use? Do you use a lot of toys during sex, or is it a lot of it just kind of wham bam sex?
Wham bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
I encourage my clients to bring their own toys. I'll like, depending on the booking, if it's more of a dom sub 50 shades kind of style, I'll bring my own kind of toys for bondage and stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously they're all cleaned and everything as well. Mm. But obviously I'll just bring my own condoms and everything else, lube and stuff. Always asking for preferences as well, because some people do have allergies or preferences of their own lube and stuff.
Yeah.
Outside of that, maybe some massage oil or something just to kind of mellow things out a little bit. Like I said, aftercare is super important. So it's always good to kind of get some touch love language in there if they appeal to that. Mm-hmm. Just that basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing. So how busy are you this week? Like, do you have 3 hours this week?
She's right. Like, are you free?
I had a busy week last week, so I'm gonna have a rest for the next couple of weeks until I go to Melbourne.
Imagine just taking a couple of weeks off. Mm. Like, I was really busy last week, so I'm going to take 3 weeks off.
Yeah, I just had sex too many times last week. I'm taking a week off.
I just made 15 grand on the weekend. I'm fine.
So good. Yeah, I guess in terms of that, you're a sole trader. You obviously have to pay your own tax, I assume.
Yeah.
What does the ATO think you are? Like, what do you have it down as? Do you have it down as a sex worker, or do you have it as like some sneaky little thing that no one knows?
I don't know how much I can disclose.
You put entertainment. There's an entertainment.
No, you're right. There is. I honestly.
Does your accountant know?
I basically just tell my accountant what I'm doing, and they do all the groundwork from there.
Interesting.
Do they pay cash or card?
Do they pay cash or card? Do I pay cash or card?
No, your client.
Oh, right.
Not the accountant.
You're just like, here's the FBOS. And they pay?
I have my company account, so they just transfer funds into that.
What if they can't afford to transfer and they have to credit card it?
That sounds irresponsible.
Yeah, true. Shouldn't pay for
it. Don't be a sex worker, Jess. You don't even know.
No, I did have a client last week that was like, you should get a square. And I was like,
yeah, you should.
That's what I thought. I was like, you should get a square. And then they could be like, beep. They pay more on a credit card.
But how has this come across twice in the last week and never in the last
4 years? It's a sign.
Never in the last 4 years. Yeah. 3 4 years, yeah. That's pretty cheap. Mm. Just think, you know, they might be having such a good time. You'd be like, oh, if you just, I'll do another hour, you can just pay me with my square.
Yeah, right.
Pay me with my square.
Welcome.
But then do you want to do another hour?
Do you? I don't know.
Yeah. You might be exhausted.
Mm.
Just trying to upsell you.
Yeah. What is your price list? Do you have like a set price list?
I found it. But you can talk about it.
He's like, tell me my own price list. You'll correct it and see if it's correct or not.
Hang on. You ask questions.
Well, I think it was a 1 hour experience was like 600? Yeah. No, 300, wasn't it? For the 1 hour.
For cuddles.
For the non, like, no, wham bam, thank you, ma'am, in that one. Then the wham bam, thank you, ma'am.
Or just cuddle?
Just cuddle.
Not even a boob or anything. Nothing.
I feel like if you get started on a boob, it doesn't really stop at the boob.
That's why if you had square, they'll pay more. Cuddle more the boob, and then they'll upgrade.
She's like, like working at Macca's or something. Would you like fries with that?
Just bank transfer.
Oh, there we go.
Beam it is great.
Beam it, yeah.
1 hour, $300, companionship. Maybe give some good cuddles for $300. Jesus. Yeah. 1 hour, $600, full service. I love that it's called a full service.
Otherwise, it's called a BFE, like boyfriend experience.
Is that what the companionship is?
No, I don't believe so.
The full service is still called a boyfriend experience.
I believe so. Like, that's how I've been using it, but I don't even use boyfriend experience in any of my
Because it says dinner, engagement, and full dinner, $1,400 for 3 hours. So that's like your boyfriend experience too.
Yeah, basically. But even sometimes, like, there could just be no dinner.
Well, yeah. Why would you want to waste time? Yeah, having dinner. Like, you know, we got 3 hours. Get to work, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. And do people pay you to, like, maybe, like, attend, I don't know, functions or something and, like, pretend that you're, like, their boyfriend just to make him look cool? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes.
Because I remember, like,
do people believe that?
Years ago, like, when I was in the online dating game years ago, I'd have guys message me being like, hey, I'll pay you, like, all this money if you just pretend to be my girlfriend. But you never know if it's real, but you're just like, Jesus Christ. And they're like, you know, I've never had a girlfriend. It's this really important business thing. Like, can I pay you? And I would obviously take it. Not kidding. I just remove them and delete it straight away. But I was like, oh, people must want to do that. Because, like, maybe they get teased by their colleagues that they don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And do they do that? You have to pretend.
But not often. Yeah. It's, again, I think I kind of work within a particular scope of clientele it may be, I mean, it might be obvious if I'm kind of out in public too often, and depending on who I'm with, it might not. I just, I also kind of prefer not to be in crowds. Very much an introvert. Enough. So it's kind of like,
This is too much for me.
Introvert in your normal life and not in your work life.
Reese isn't an introvert.
But in saying that, I do have events coming up that I am kind of, not chaperoning. That's not the right word.
Companionshipping.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
And what is the most, like, what is the most used service of that list? What would you get the most? The 1 hour, 3 hours?
3 hours for sure.
3 hours. 3 hours. Okay. Yeah. I love that your overnight experience is 15 hours. That's like a nice, good, solid amount of time.
It used to be 12, but then it was just kind of weird getting up at some early hour or getting there at some late hour.
Yeah.
So I figured 15 hours is just time for breakfast and say goodbye.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's $5,000, that one. But you got your $15,000 for the 3 nights. Whew. Damn. That was in call. What is out call? This is a screenshot.
Honestly,
so I can't
it's basically
out.
The same. Oh, yeah. It sucks. It's basically the same, but I would just mention the travel expenses.
Right.
And then that'll also vary. So if it's like half an hour away, the Uber will be like $50 or something.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
You'd be like, I would like a Mercedes, please.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, I guess we would go back to how you kind of separate work and personal life with sex. You don't have a partner, but you have kind of people that you see, your friends with benefits, situations. Do you kind of experience those or enjoy those differently than it would be working? Like, is it more like what you would want to do and how you want your sexual experience to be when you're with someone that's not in work, and then it's different when you're at work?
Yes. Yeah. I think there definitely are those, like, dynamics where I can kind of just be more of myself. I don't know. I honestly think it's not much of a difference between me and the character. It's just, I'm probably just a bit more geeky than the character is. I don't walk around in suits all day. I'll probably just walk around in underwear. But, like, it's just more casual, I think. And I don't have to worry about keeping everything immaculate.
Yeah. Is it weird having sex when you're not getting paid for it? When you're so used to getting paid for it? Or is it just you easily separate it?
I like to think that I can easily separate it now, but it will sneak up on me every once in a while where I'm like, okay, this feels like work.
Yeah.
Or like, this feels a little bit too intimate to be work.
Okay.
So knowing where the boundaries are so you don't blow those lines is very important. Yeah.
Oh, you must have a lot of clients.
Yeah, I was
like, going
to say, yes.
Or being like, I've got feelings now.
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Girls associate sex with, like, feelings.
Yeah, emotion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, usually. I don't think it's I don't think it's as direct as how you say it.
Yeah.
It might sneak up on some people. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes down to my own responsibility and communication with the client to be like, I think it's probably getting a bit out of hand.
Yeah. Have you had to drop a client before? Have you had to be like, sorry, it's getting a bit too much?
Yeah, a few. Actually. Yeah. And that's just unfortunate, but it's also necessary. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, like, I'm not here to hurt anyone, or like, if I'm not supplementing their life, it's silly to kind of cause that to be more of an issue than a help.
Yeah. Have you ever caught feelings for a client?
I've definitely had some very intimate experiences with clients. Mm. I don't think I've caught like feelings.
Okay.
Definitely had incredible chemistry with some clients.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So fascinating.
Everyone wanted to marry Brandy as well.
Yeah.
Everyone. You would too. When it's the opposite, when it's the girl, all the men are like, let me take you away from this. I want to be with you.
I guess the hero.
Let me save you.
Let me save you.
That's the difference, I think, that men are viewed, like men, especially straight men in the industry, are kind of viewed very differently by the public and then very differently by other sex workers.
Yeah.
So yeah.
There's a bit of a paradigm there.
That's why I want to get you on.
Mm.
Oh.
So are your friends all sex workers? Do you just hang out with sex workers like on your weekends?
No, absolutely not. I've got a few friends that are sex workers and I have my little group, but I don't really expand from that.
Yeah.
So I kind of get them to vet people for me because I don't really want to devote energy. No, it sounds cocky, you know, I guess it sounds kind of douchey, but I guess I try to differentiate myself from the industry. It doesn't really benefit me to socialize a lot with the sex industry because it doesn't really affect my clientele.
Yeah.
And I've found in the past that it causes more damage to me than it does benefit me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Hmm.
Cool. But everyone in your personal life knows what you do, or is there some people that still don't know?
Yeah. I'm very open with my personal life. Mm-hmm. My family know what I do. My siblings know what I do. It's just very kind of out there.
Yeah.
How do they respond to it? Like, how do your parents respond to it?
I'm just trying to remember what actually happened. I think I called them and just told
just
them.
Just texted.
Well, yeah.
Like, so I do sex work now, XOXO.
Well, they always knew that I did topless waitering and then I got into stripping and that was just kind of like a transition. I think my mum was more concerned about just being safe about it.
Yeah.
And I just had to explain that to her, but I'm glad that I did that first to explain what I was doing rather than her hearing it from someone else.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the power really came into play because, some people will just kind of attack you in your personal life being in the industry. And yeah, I like that I took that card off the table by telling them and telling my personal friends. I did have one dude that was trying to like send my like porn to my family and like personal friends through Facebook. Yeah, it was really weird.
That is weird.
Were you doing porn?
Well, OnlyFans content. So So he was, I think it was a guy.
He's paid to get into your account to watch your stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then also tried to send it.
Yeah. Try like download
very
it.
Very strange.
I think he's in love with you.
That was a few years ago, but it was like, I just did a personal post on all my personal social media and was like, hey, if you guys are receiving any of my content, congratulations.
Yeah. Lucky
but also,
you.
I'm really sorry.
How does the OnlyFans world work as well? Like, is that a large
part of your income?
Yeah. Is that like a good income stream?
Not like, okay. I don't use it for like, for all of its capabilities. I use it as like an advertisement kind of landing page, I guess you'd call it, mm-hmm. in a crude term. It's a good way to be an exhibitionist in what I do for work.
Yeah.
So showing different types of bookings, also showing parts of what I enjoy and people I enjoy. So I kind of do it just to add a bit of flavor, I guess. And it's not a huge part of my income. It's just a little supplement income.
I have a question. It's a bit personal, but people have asked that. Do you, if they asked, do you send a dick pic?
No, absolutely not.
Because they would want to know, right?
Who?
Just clients.
Oh, right.
It's like Tinder. You you give your number to a guy and straight away you get a dick pic. So I just thought,
right? Yeah.
Do they ask for that?
They do. I just send them straight to OnlyFans.
Right.
I think it's easier to do that.
So if they do that, then they pay and then they can look at that there.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
If you want to see the package, just go there.
Well, I mean, if they're going to pay $1,400, they can afford $20 for the month or whatever it is.
That's just what I was concerned about. Imagine paying $1,400 and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Mm. How much do you charge a month? On OnlyFans, do you know?
I think it's like $12.99 or something. So.
Yeah, they can pay $12.
Yeah, $12.99.
It's not too bad.
Nah, not bad at all.
But yeah, like I said, it's just there to keep people.
Yeah.
Like answer their questions, basically.
Yeah.
If someone came to you and like, I guess, talked to you and was like, "Oh, I've been thinking about doing this," like, what would you say to them? Would you advise them to do it? Would you not advise them to do it? What would kind of be your top tips?
Oh, there's a lot to go off here. Because like I said earlier, I get this question quite a bit.
Yeah.
From guys of all ages, just random messages on Instagram or some of my friend workers just being like, I have this guy who wants to get into it. If you are like, you really have to know your why, like why you're getting into it to start with. Then if you are okay with that, you then have to break down what are your boundaries? What are you okay doing? Who are the clientele you're okay seeing? then you've got to approach it from a business. So who are you marketing towards? How are you going to market your character? What do you appeal to most? On top of that, you definitely need to learn your legalities and your like procedures of consent and aftercare and really breaking down what you need to be a good escort.
Yep.
If you're a straight guy coming into the industry, I'd recommend, how do I say this? It's hard to find empathetic, very like open-minded straight guys that are good looking and want to kind of help explore sexuality in its entirety with people and by themselves. So that for starters is kind of a bit of an indication as to who's suited and not suited for the industry in itself, yeah. But the industry is full of people who aren't suited to it as well. So it's just an open book, but just try and be as responsible as possible or just be responsible as an adult. And then, there's so many layers to it and it's hard to break it down because I've been trying to come up with an official answer for people and I'm just like, I don't know where to start. Just make sure you're psychologically sound.
Yes.
You know what you're doing. No, you're not going to hurt anyone and just don't do dumb shit.
I like the ambition. Like,
I don't know how simple
that's it in a nutshell. That. Yeah. Just don't do dumb shit. Yeah.
Don't do dumb shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
Get out there.
Well, this has been so informative.
It actually has been great, honestly.
Yeah.
I think we've covered
everything. All these
deep, dark, dirty questions.
So if any of our listeners want to, slide on DM or book a little service, where do they find you?
So I'm pretty present on Instagram, but my phone number is always open. I think everything is on the link on my Instagram. So yeah, go through that and see what you can find.
Right. Reese Central, isn't it?
Yeah. Reese Central. So RHYSENSUAL.
Perfect. We'll put it in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Slide into the DMs. Yeah. You can talk to Reese. You know, all the prices.
But also thank you so much for being so open and honest. And, it's obviously quite a taboo topic. So we're very appreciative that you've shared all this information with us today.
Yeah, pleasure.
Yeah.
It's kind of been a bit of a blur, so I don't know what it says.
No, you did very well. Cool. It was a great chat. We loved it. All right.
All right, guys.
We're sending love, life, and laughter to you always, guys.
Bye.
Bye.